Welcome to In The Stiffs podcast with me, Sam Easton. I'm joined by my friends and former Shrewsbury teammates, Gavin Cowan and Dave Edwards.
Well, how many caps did he end up getting?
Thomas Aronson, actually, I was saying how it was. I felt really sorry for him, it was disappointing. He actually got 101 caps for Denmark.
There was a suggestion about doing a five-a-side tournament against other podcasts.
I'd be right up for that. I fancy us strongly. Under the cosh is Big John Parkin,
his mate Chris Brown, who was a young lad at Sunderland, I think. And you think, I shouldn't be depressed. Yeah. But then you're annoyed with yourself and you're thinking, hold on a minute, I was spoiled of mine.
Ravinelli's jumped in front of me. Yeah, you get in the front, Fab. You get in the front. I'm not happy to get in the front. It's like Darren Goff and that roller's piled in the back of this minibus.
And can you remember the guy who was always at the top of the leaderboard? Got all the records and all of them?
Sam Easton?
No, definitely not him. He weren't even in the top 50. She was like, yeah, but you went out last night, didn't you? And we were like, and went, no. She went, if you lie to me again, you'll be doing 16,000 metres. I was like, yeah, we went. She was like, yeah, we'll get on with it then. And I was like,
you have two of them in the garden for the kids to play with.
Just killed him like that. Yeah. We were like, oh, Fab, come on, Fab.
ACL, isn't it? And I was like, yeah, he went. Oh well, see you in 6 months.
Advice I'll give to a footballer who suffers an injury where they're going to be out for longer than a month, just try and find some sort of positive that you can make out of it.
Right,
but going back to having a good sense of the physio room at every club is the hub of where everything happens, isn't it? So your face was caved in.
Oh, right.
In the change rooms after, mate. It's
the next thing I know, I'm in the hospital in the fetus position having a flipping suppository pushed up a bar. And I was like, oh, flip.
Bloody Tolly.
Where was he?
He's ranging sick an hour ago.
He's the world free man.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of In The Stiffs podcast. All right, lad, how are we doing?
Really well, really well.
This podcast has been brought to you from a new location, Gav's Bar. There'll be some videos, it'll be out and about, won't it?
Yeah.
Not a secret. Fruit machine, pool table, darts, got everything.
Full on cheers, innit?
It's better than my flat in Newcastle, isn't it? I've already said that.
Brand new Gav, this place?
Yeah, yeah.
State of the art?
Yeah, yeah, through lockdown.
It's found a good payoff at Telford.
Flipping heck, made a right few quid at Telford.
Yeah. Minus, actually.
Something that got pointed out to us after the last podcast, I made a bit of a big deal saying how unlucky Thomas Sorensen was not to get many caps for Denmark because, unfortunately, he's at the same time as the Schmeichels, even though one's a dad and one's a son, and there's a 15-year gap. And then somebody asked
how many caps did he end up getting?
Thomas Aronson, actually, I was saying how it was. I felt really sorry for him. It was disappointing. He actually got 101 caps for Denmark.
Someone brought it up on our Twitter, didn't they? And absolutely killed us. It was brilliant.
That's the importance of preparation and research, isn't it?
But anyway, we're learning, aren't we? We're learning. We're still growing, still learning.
We're learning to check our facts before we come out with stupid statements like that.
I blame you, Wits.
But the Shrewsbury game the other day, loads of fans saying hello and that like the podcast. So anybody, when you see us, please say that you like the podcast. If you don't like the podcast, just don't say anything. But if you do like it, stop us and say that you do. It's good for our egos, isn't it? Good for our self-esteem.
Loving it.
It makes it worthwhile when I keep coming down the house on a school night and getting in at 11 o'clock and... Not seeing the wife and kids, so it makes it worthwhile.
And if you do like it, tell your mates as well.
Yeah.
Keep sharing, subscribing, pushing the numbers up.
Have we had any negative feedback yet? I haven't seen anything, but there's some constructive stuff from close friends, but...
I've had some from your wife about stop going out the house every evening doing podcasts.
That's a running theme, I think, now.
What about as well? It said there was a suggestion about doing a five-a-side tournament against other podcasts. I'd be right up for that. I fancy us strongly. Under the cosh is Big John Parkin and his mate Chris Brown, who was a young lad at Sunderland, I think, probably just for my time.
I'll mark Parkin.
Dave, you have to mark Chris Brown because he's off decent. I'll mark the little fella, the little bald fella who does it with him as well.
I'm assuming I'll have help with Parkin now, will I?
They're wits. What?
I'll have help with him, will
I? You'll be all right, won't you?
Climb around him.
Definitely have too much for them.
Yeah, I'm all over it.
Crouchies, you'd go man-to-man on Crouchies.
Yeah. Destroy him.
I'd look after Chris Stark.
You'd be Chris Stark. David fancy himself.
Yeah.
Chris Stark. You go man to man on Stark and I'll have a free row.
Oh, but you're competing in the air with Crouchy.
There won't be any, like, no podcasts. No one else, is there? Any podcasts? We definitely have the best team.
Yeah, 1,000,000%. I back us all day.
Right, so under the cosh and...
Dave's the ringer, isn't he? Dave would be our ringer, wouldn't he?
What do you mean?
He'd be our skipper, wouldn't he? He's had how many caps for Wales, Dave?
It's 43. It's Wales.
I've had four caps for England.
You haven't mentioned it.
They'll probably be worried, I think.
Anyway, yeah, so keep saying hello to us. Anyway, let's crack on. Injuries. Like, injuries is one of those things in football, isn't it? That massive, massive lows. I think I think this episode will probably be a bit like Afterlife. You've watched Afterlife with Ricky Gervais. This will be about where there'll be some laughs, but there'll be some sad bits as well.
Some serious moments.
Yeah. Give us one of your big injuries then, Cav. You've been quite lucky, haven't you?
I have been lucky, yeah. I was just saying there, just before we come on, I've had a couple of ankle breaks, ankle dislocation. I've had a couple of ops on either knee. And then my cheekbone, obviously, the Shrewsbury one. Other than the odd clean-up and stuff like that, I have been quite fortunate, really.
You never really move fast enough to pull any muscles or anything, did you? You're never going to get like a hamstring.
I was more sharp than fast, do you know what I mean? I was more sharp than fast.
Never going to get a sprinter's injury, are you?
Made of concrete, didn't I? So I was always all right. But I remember doing my calf. I always felt that the muscle injuries were the worst ones because I'd done my calf, I've done my hamstring and quad. The quad one was the one that got me for the longest. It kept going. I couldn't get it right. But yeah, I was not that I was all right with it, but the breaks are almost quite definitive, aren't they? It's a break. This is how long you're going to be out for. With a muscle, it's always quite precarious, isn't it? It's like, yeah, you've got 3 weeks, and it's like, yeah, we've had a bit of a setback. And then, like I say, with my quad, I got my quad right, and it was just like, yeah, it's beneath the initial muscle, and then it's into that part of it, and it was like, oh, and it was always like a setback. I always felt quite nervous with the muscle ones.
Yeah, breaks, I suppose, you know you're going to be out for a while, don't you? You get your head around it a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
And they do say as well, bone that heals a lot stronger, whereas muscle's never quite the same, is it? Once you've done your hamstring, you're always worried, aren't you?
I was always just very, when I'd done my ankles, I was always just concerned about whether I was going to be able to do my moonwalk again.
And moonwalk's fine.
Oh, it's fine. Yeah. It's all right, everyone. Yeah, it's fine. Don't worry.
Don't want to panic. When I was at Sunderland, I'd done my ACL.
Oh, like, that's the worst one in football, isn't it?
That was the worst. I'd done my ACL and my media at the same time. But at the time, I must have only been 19, 20. So, you never really had injuries before. So I was all right in some ways. I think I coped with it well from a mental point of view because it was still a new experience. So I remember still doing, like, going around town, still going all over, still going out and about. Saw me crutches and everything. Those crutches ended up in bedroom floors all over the northeast. But when we used to have... Remember Steve Agnew, bold bloke, assistant manager. Yeah. Well, he was injured the same time as me, which massively helps if you've got someone. So he was injured for quite a long period, about 6 months with me. And that was brilliant because he had a really good work ethic and we'd be on the bikes, then we'd be doing our exercises, and then we just doing weights. We're doing weights all the time. The two of us looked like two doormen after 3 months.
Brilliant, isn't it?
So we got some out. So it wasn't a real negative experience at the first time. I had a couple other injuries later on, which were... I struggled a little bit with, but that first time, I think because you're so young and it was still just, it was like I'd only been a professional for 2 years, so it was still part of the adventure, so I was still sort of excited by it all.
I made a note of that in my notes about saying when early in your career and you have an injury, you seem to cope with it because you think you're indestructible and it's all right, I'll get back from this, and so you don't know any different. Then at the end of your career, obviously you're more emotionally mature, so you're able to do it then. I felt for me those ages of around sort of 22 to 28, when I got injured then, it was almost like, I struggled.
I was exactly the same as that, yeah. Those years were difficult with injuries. But like you said, Sam, you said you was in the gym all the time. I always found whenever I was injured, I'd get myself in the best shape I'd be in.
Oh, yeah, I looked unbelievable.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then as soon as you went back into training, I'm going to keep up with this. I'm going to keep going to the gym. I'm going to keep doing this. And it starts just to wane a little bit, doesn't it? And
never
before
happens,
you know it, you're
it?
Back where you were
and,
before.
And now, when you go back to training, and obviously you feel physically brilliant, it's a different fitness, isn't it? And then you get back in training, you're breathing, aren't you? I remember, like what you said, when I did my cheekbone at Shrewsbury, I remember just being in the gym all the time with Ben Davies and Hopi. We were constantly, every training session afterwards, we were straight in there. Bench press, all the stupid stuff. Bench press, lifting, all of that. And then I remember, just before I was coming back, Rach, the physio, was like, come outside with me. She took me out onto the meadow, went, go up for a header, threw the ball up. And I was like, flipping it. She went, right, now do a couple of box to boxes. And I was blowing, like proper. It was only a cheekbone, but I'd just been getting in the gym. I was blowing massively. She put me on these shakes just to shrink me down again.
Can you remember, we had Rachel, didn't we, as our physio. She must be one of the first female physios. A lot more common now, isn't it? But that was quite revolutionary at the time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
A tough environment for her, that, wasn't it, at the start? She was a bit of a trailblazer, really.
She coped with it really well, didn't she?
I was going to say, she dealt with it well, didn't she?
Brilliantly.
Yeah. I see her recently at a Stoke 23s game, and she's working with the Premier League, and she's, I think, in this time now, they've got everybody hands-on doing the COVID stuff. Well, I know that's dispersing a little bit, but she's been hands-on doing that, so I got to have a good conversation, catch up with her there.
When I done my ACL, and our physio was Gordon Ellis, he was, ex-military, and he'd been, an ex-prison officer in real tough prison. He said he'd been playing badminton with Peter Sutcliffe and that. He's mixing with all, the worst of the worst, and obviously me and Stevie Agnew were doing,
like weights all the time. I was like, how would I compare now? Like, if I was in the prison gym, would I be the strongest in the gym? He's like, Sam, mate, you would not even rate me. You would not be allowed in the gym. They wouldn't let you walk in the gym. He's like, there's some serious characters in there. And I was like, oh, okay then. Well, what about you, Dave? Any bad injuries?
Yeah, I had quite a lot of injuries.
You've had a lot, haven't you?
Yeah. It's a strange one. I got the tag of being a bit injury prone, I think, especially from my mid-20s, and it used to kill me. Like, it's one of those ones I'll be speaking to people and they drop it in and they say, oh, you're always getting injured and things like that. And you'd laugh it off, but it would kill me. It proper like cuts me because I'd work so hard to not be injured. Yeah. And I think I probably went the other way in terms of a bit of like law of attraction sort of stuff. The more I thought about it, the more I went in the gym, the more I was trying not to be injured, the more I was getting injured. I think I was just overthinking it. And then later in my 20s, I kind of got to grips with it better and understood what my body needs. But I had a spell of loads of niggly injuries, but I had some bad ones as well. And like you said, early on in my career, I think my first one I had was at Shrewsbury, but never bothered me. Yeah. And then my first bad one where I needed surgery was at Wolves. We were playing Tottenham away at White Hart Lane. And do you remember the left back, Assou Okoto?
Yeah.
So he was a player. I was playing right midfield. And he's cutting on his right foot and it's looked like he's going to shoot. And he sent me for the biggest chop ever. And as he's gone back onto his left foot, I've somehow just tried to turn around and my ankle's like buckled underneath me. I thought I broke my leg. Like, I never experienced pain like it, and went back in the dressing room. What I'd done, I'd snapped a ligament in between my tibia and fibula. That required surgery. And that was a real tough one because it's my first year in the Premier League. I was playing every week at the time. I remember we had Man United away the following week. Yeah. And, you know, it's one you're looking forward to. And I ended up missing, they said 12 weeks initially, and I got back out on the training pitch about 8-9 weeks. That desperate to get back, massive setback, trained 2 days and it just wasn't right. Ended up missing about 16 weeks of it, and I got back for the last few games of the season. That was a tough one to deal with. And then I followed that up with the following season. So we had 3 years in the Premier League of Wolves, and this is when I really struggled with injuries in terms of mentally, because I felt like I was robbing myself of these experiences of playing in the Premier League.
You were missing out, though, weren't you?
It's a bit different.
Right under your nose, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah, and I kind of knew in my heart of hearts that the Premier League was, I'd been lucky to carry on playing there for the rest of my career, so I felt like I needed to get as many games as I could. But the worst injury I ever had mentally was the following season, so our second season in the Premier League. We're playing Blackpool at home, and I've gone for a volley, and I just felt a massive twinge in my back. I thought, oh, it's a bit sore, but I'll get on with it. I remember going in for half-time, really sore, come back out second half and it was in bits, it was killing me. Went back to the training ground, we had Tottenham the following week, desperate to play, and I was on a good run at the time, so I rested it for 3 or 4 days, went out to try and do some running, and it was agony. Oh, so I got a scan on it, I had a fracture in the bottom of my back, and the worst thing about this injury was that no one actually said to me, right, you're going to be out for 3 months, or you're going to be out for 6 months, you're going to be out for 9 months.
Just didn't know.
So I didn't know. Everyone was like, just rest it for a couple of weeks and we'll see how it is, rest it for another month, see how it is. And that was the hardest thing. Every other injury I've had, there's been a time frame on it.
Yeah.
A time frame on it. And that helps you get your head around it, doesn't it? You've got a plan. Yeah. You know what you're going to be doing every
absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely.
But with my back, because you use it so much, obviously every little movement, and not knowing how long, I was really struggling. It was the same time my first child was born as well. So I was really struggling. I couldn't pick him up or anything like that. It was tough. And this is the time when I remember going to the doctors and said, like, I just feel so depressed. He put me on antidepressants and I had this massive feeling of why am I depressed? This is outrageous. I'm playing in the Premier League. I've got an amazing wife. I've got a newborn baby. What right have I got to be depressed? Yeah. But I remember the doctor saying to me, you only know what you know. And I remember saying to him, I shouldn't be depressed. I've got a really good life. But I was really struggling. Didn't want to go to the training ground at all. Didn't want to really get up in the mornings, things like that. But I managed to get through it eventually. Great. The doctor at Wolves was brilliant at the time. But that was kind of how I felt injuries were. And as a footballer, it's the worst, because that's all you know, is it, playing football. And as soon as someone takes that away from you, then you're in all sorts of trouble. And you've got all that free time. It's not like you're going to work and things like that. You're there at the training ground, watching everyone else train, not knowing when you're going to be back. And you know your place is up for jeopardy in the team, don't you, when you're out. Even if you're going to miss one or two games, you know someone can come in and do well and you miss your chance. So... yeah,
that's an unbelievable roller coaster. Admission, that, Dave, because that's like, not a lot of people will know that, and not a lot of people will be surprised about that, because obviously the life of a footballer isn't always, and often isn't, like the ups, is it? So it's like real credit to you that you come out and say that. And so what adjustments did you make then?
At the time, it wasn't a lot at that age. I was probably 24 at the time, and like you said, I was probably a little bit mentally immature at the time. I didn't really understand life. Do you know what I mean? I've been thrown, I had a quick rise in football from playing at Shrewsbury to Luton to Wolves to the Premier League, and all in the space of like 2 years.
Unreal, yeah.
And then it was all catching up with me a little bit. And this was the first real dip I'd had in my career. And I did struggle. It probably took me till I was about, it's probably 27, 28, to actually took a step back in my life in general, not just football, in my life in general, and just try to appreciate the little things in life a little bit more. Do you know what I mean? So enjoy spending time with my kids, enjoy spending time with my wife, not overreacting when things aren't going well at football, because as football, you live on the roller coaster of football. So from week to week, if you've had a bad result, if you've had a good result, if you're injured, I used to message my wife and say, oh, I picked up an injury today. She'd be thinking, oh, shit. We're going to be in for a crap couple of weeks here. Because it just, that was it. I was just down tools at home. That was me. I was doing everything I could to be fit, but I was miserable. You know, I was really miserable around the place.
What's amazing is, obviously, all a part of this podcast is we've all played at sort of a similar level, then varying levels and stuff. And for someone like me who's been in a position, like you say, injured, feeling down, trying to find some resilience, trying to get myself going and having all the, I suppose, the same emotions of what you've got, it's unbelievable to think that someone, like you say, who's playing in the Premier League, is having all of the same emotions, all the same troubles and tribulations as what you are. And it's amazing, isn't it? Because like what you say there, it's about going back to basics and getting your life right in order for your football to be right.
Yeah.
It's not to say it doesn't matter, but because money can remove worries, but it doesn't make it. I mean, remember Stan Collymore when he came out with his mental health issues and everybody was going, well, he's got loads of money. He's got a great job. What's he got to be sad about? You know, what about the lad who's playing for Rochdale on 25 grand, who's got a 1 year contract? But it's not like that, is it? You're just in your current situation. It doesn't matter. Absolutely. What you've got.
You can't live in anyone else's mind, can you?
And I think in terms of money anyway, I mean, just thinking about my own career, obviously didn't earn anything like what Dave did, but it didn't make any difference, really. I can't really remember that making any difference at all to my mentality. I think I remember being out of contract was always a worrying time. I remember when I remember being in Florida, Disneyland, and I was out of contract. I remember that being a really difficult time where I was worried and waiting for my phone to ring.
But you spent a fortune when you're out there, that's why. yeah. Guys, horrible this in Disney World.
Yeah. But I think, you know, like Dave says there, yeah, if you step back and reflect and go, actually, life's okay, but you're in that moment,
in the
aren't
bubble,
you? And you're in the bubble.
Yeah.
And you think, I shouldn't be depressed, I shouldn't be But then you're annoyed with yourself and you're thinking, hold on a minute, how spoiled am I? But you can't help it.
I was in a vicious circle.
And you need a purpose. And if you haven't got a clear plan, like if you're injured and you're coming back and you're not sure when you're going to be back, that's the worst, isn't it? At least you break your ankle and you go, yeah, you're going to spend 4 weeks, you're going to be basically sat on your bum.
Yeah.
2 weeks, then we start doing these exercises. Then you're going to go on your fitness last 2 weeks. Then we're going to look at will Liam mark this reserve game in 9 weeks' time?
You have little goals to tick off on the way.
Yeah. And you give yourself a purpose and goals.
Well, that's it. You just said something really poignant there, didn't you? When you're younger, all you can think about is the playing, where actually it's the purpose. We all need a mountain to climb, don't we? Yeah. So you go, right, I'm injured. So it's about actually getting back fit, not thinking about, right, I'm not playing. It's actually the focus is to get fit. And when you've got that in front of you, that mountain to climb, that's what gives you a purpose and drives you forward and makes you resilient. And if, like you say, all of those things are just immaterial unless you've got everything right in your life in terms of, like you say, family, spending time in the right fashion. I always say love and time are the main things, isn't it? I know we're getting a bit deep now, but like love and time are the main things. If I've got those two right with my family, everything else just fits into place.
22, 23, 24.
You can't do that. It's different now when we can have a conversation like that. We would not have had that. We would not have a conversation like that when you're 22, 23. You're just like, why am I feeling rubbish? Sort yourself out. Pull yourself together.
I think your brain obviously will always naturally, even now, will look for the negative situation, does it? It's what it does to protect you. But I was in the Premier League and all I was thinking, oh, missing Old Trafford this week. Oh, missing the Emirates next week. Yeah, oh, missing Anfield.
I was looking at all the negatives
though, rather than thinking, right, at least I'm getting to rehab in one of the best training grounds in the country.
Your rehab's a joke.
I've got four physios, I've got four masseurs. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you got all your food done. Yeah, of course, but you just don't look like it. Dave, talk us through then. So you're in the Premiership with Wolves. Talk me through an average day when you're injured. So you got time, you need to get in the ground before the rest of the players?
Yeah, so this is probably another thing which was a ball ache about being injured is you're there a lot longer than everyone else. You work a lot harder. So we would be in it'd be a 9:30 start, but you'd have to be in for breakfast earlier. So you'd be in at 9 o'clock, which...
With all the rest of the lads? So you think you have breakfast with the lads?
So back then, the lads were in at 10 o'clock for a 10:30 start, which has changed as I went on because you now have to be in an hour before training. But back then it was half an hour before training and you could just get yourself ready and get yourself out. But injured lads are in at half nine, which I always find, when I went to Reading, they did it a different way, and I thought, is it revolutionary in the best way? But, you know, as an injured lad, when you're in first, you start to see the physios and get treatment, but at the same time, all the fit lads are coming in for treatments as well, to go for training. So you get palmed off a little bit as an injured lad.
Yeah, we'll do you after.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you at 10.
Go in the gym and do that, and you're in the gym on your own, and it feels great. Whereas at Reading, you wouldn't come in till 11 o'clock, which meant you always had a bit of a lie-in, but it meant the lads who were training, they could sort them all out, get them out to train, and then when you come in, the physios are ready for you. Bam, bam. But you'd stay in longer. Obviously, we'd be there till 4 o'clock at Reading, but it made a lot more sense. But Wolves...
Common sense, that is. But also, I think there was a little bit... Definitely, we were exactly the same at every club I was at when he injured. You'd be in at nine, where the rest of the lads would be in at 10. So you'd come in injured at nine. And it was to get the treatment done beforehand, but lads would start coming in early for rubs and strappings and everything.
Psychologically, that helps, doesn't it, the Reading thing?
But
coming in
the reason why that, I think, the reason why they used to get them at nine, because it's to stop, like, try and stop people being injured. Yeah. So it's a bit of a punishment. Yeah. You're injured, you better be in at nine. Oh, well, I'm not going to be injured then. Well, if you brought your ankle.
Very old school, isn't it? But
go on, Dave, sorry. So talk us through. So you'd get in, say Wolves, you'd get in at nine.
So we'd be in at nine. And we'd obviously get some treatment. Then we'd do gym work in between probably 10 and 11 whilst the other lads are getting sorted. Yeah. Might involve your fitness sessions, stuff like that. And then you would get some more treatments and then sort of rehab stuff leading into lunch, which is about half 12, 1. And you basically come down then after lunch and you do exactly the same again. So you'd almost do your program twice. Obviously, it changed different days to days. But usually, I would say you was in at half nine. Or sorry, in for nine, half nine start. And you'd probably be leaving about... 3-4 o'clock.
Yeah, which I know might, you know, people will go, well, that's a normal day, but for football, that's a long day, isn't it? Because the other lads are gone, aren't they?
So my thing, a lot of it was, I look back now and I probably was a little bit disrespectful at times to physios when I would say, I'm injured, I need rest. Do you know what I mean? So I'm in here for 8 or 9 hours, and whereas really I'd be better being at home doing nothing. Yeah. But there's a bit, I think there's a somewhere in the middle where you should be doing your rehab and things like that. But yeah, it was tough. And the worst thing at Wolves was that you had, in the gym at Wolves, it was like a glass all down the one side and it looked out onto the training pitch.
Like corridor as well.
Yeah, so you're there, you're doing all your gym work and all the boys are training.
Like, I'm
the
laugh, messing about, doing five sides.
And you're everything. Just like, especially like the day before a game, you know, when that's a real fun day, isn't it? Friday, if you're playing on the Saturday, all lads doing five-os, doing the shape and stuff like that. You're inside watching and you're, I don't know, on the treadmill or whatever. Yeah, that's what I found tough. But
any days off or no days off? I mean, we didn't get many days off.
No, it's one day, it's a Sunday. So we'd be in on Wednesdays as well when the lads would be off. So we'd be in maybe a bit of a shorter day on a Wednesday because the other lads weren't in, so you could get through it a little bit quicker. And then
that's pretty universal, isn't it?
Yeah, then on a Saturday, the day of a game, you come in the morning, you do all your stuff, and then you go to the stadium and watch the game, and then have Sundays off.
Yeah, and sometimes we would, if they were away, we'd come in Saturday. I mean, I did this at all clubs, you'd be in Saturday morning treatment with someone, probably like the reserve physio or youth team physio. Or
used something. To be a nightmare if you had to travel.
We never. Like, I can't remember.
I remember a couple of managers. Yeah, you got to travel.
What's the point of that? I guess that's not good for the lads. Because you're there injured. Like, what's the purpose of you?
One manager that I won't name was just basically said.
Name him.
Kev Wilkin. no, he was like, you're a big character around a change room, just want you in and around it, just to be amongst the lads.
That's a compliment, isn't it?
But there was a couple who definitely were like, you're travelling, you're coming.
Well, we have that now at Bala, so that the boys are injured will travel, but that's not more understandable because we only train once a week and you're getting paid.
Yeah,
so you train on a Tuesday, you've got to be able to come to the game as well, sort of thing. Which lads will still moan about, obviously.
Yeah, of course,
Lads will moan.
To be fair to Kev, he was like, you know, you're big in a changing room, want you around a group, it's important that you're there. Yeah. And then, but yeah, there was a couple of managers who were like, you're travelling, I'm like, oh, what's the point? You know, obviously I'm going to be out quite a while, I need to be getting my treatment. And it's like, no, want you there. And you knew it was just because they were trying to make you.
I always find being injured, the worst bit of the week was if the lads were playing away from home and you've been in for the treatment on the Saturday morning, then you're at home whilst they're playing. So you've got soccer Saturday on in the background. Oh, it was just horrible. Yeah. You was like, what? You're so used to not being at home on a match day. And I just used to dread that sort of 2 hours there. I'd kind of try and stay away from the TV. I'd try and go outside, just ignore it as much as I could.
It was weird on a Saturday, wasn't it? Because Saturday afternoon, you'd be like, I remember... like never ever be in town or anything. I remember even it was rammed everywhere. I was like, oh, what's going on? Hollis is ridiculous. Like how busy it is. Why are everybody out now? What they're all doing? And he's like, they were shopping and going about their day. Oh, so annoying. It's just so busy. There's queues everywhere. I remember before, I mean, I don't even think they do it anymore because of all the facilities now. But before they had all the academies and all this amazing setups, we used to go to Lillishall if you were injured. Yeah. I don't know whether anyone's done that.
So yeah, who was it?
Pauline, and what was the guy's name? Pauline was the wife, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I can't remember the guy's name.
They still do this, but they do St. George's Park now.
Oh, yeah. So this was before St. George's Park, wasn't it? Sorry, Sam.
Well, we used to go to Little Shore, and we used cricketers there, so I had a couple of amazing, like, it was a great week, because you'd train really hard, you'd be on the road.
Like three sessions a day, innit?
But you'd have it, at Little Shore, and you'd go to Newport Baths.
That's it, yeah.
So you all used to get on the minibus and go to Newport Baths, but everybody went there. You'd have like an 18-year-old from Bury, and then you'd have like a superstar from wherever. Yeah. When I was there one time, and there was the cricketers were there, Flintoff, Darren Goff, and Mark Butcher were there. And so like there was only like 15 or 16 of us.
That's a great night out, that does. Yeah.
They were class. And Jamie Lawrence, remember him?
Yeah.
So that was one week, and they were brilliant. The cricket lads were amazing, different to the footballers. You know, the footballers are confident, but just in their little groups. As Mark Butcher would come across, be like, "Oh, how was your injury?" And they were just like, "I mean, I can't hear some of the stories because they were funny." But another time we were there, and Darren Goff was there again, and me and Stevie Agnew went, and Ravinelli was there. Ravinelli's on the. So I'm sitting there like this kid from Sunderland, and then Ravinelli's on the next bench, and then we still all had to get in the minibus. So you got in that rubbish old minibus to go to Newport swimming baths for your swimming session. So take Ravinelli. Ravinelli's like, "I'm getting in the front." So Ravinelli's jumping in the front. I'm like, "Yeah, you get in the front, Fab. You get in the front. I'm not happy to get in the front." But it's like Darren Goff and that roller's piled in the back of this minibus.
Because you remember they used to have the board there, and it'd be like, because they had the three, was it the bike ride, the run, and what was the other one?
The rower was a killer.
So basically, what they do is just absolutely destroy you. So you just do all cardio, and you'd have to do this nightmare bike ride around Lillishaw. And obviously,
it's like 8,000 meters on the road as fast as you can, or something. It was like record was like
the longest driveway in the world, isn't it? To Lillishaw, so you used to do the runs on that.
That's it, yeah. And can you remember the guy who was always at the top of the leaderboard, got all the records and all of them?
Sam Easton?
No, definitely not him. He weren't even in the top 50.
Who?
Not remember?
No.
Craig Burley.
Oh yeah, he's on Middlesbrough, wasn't he?
He was. No one could get him. Tell you who else was on there. Wardy, Gavin Ward.
Oh, no surprise.
Goalkeeper coach.
No,
yeah, he was up there on one of them.
Anyway,
just crazy, them three exercises.
Yeah.
Just before you go, you've got to tell some of your stories, by the way. But we'd had a night out as well. And then we'd snuck out, because obviously they didn't like you doing it. You stay at Lillishaw, don't you? And we'd snuck out, gone for a few beers. And then the next morning we got back. Now, I remember Pauline going, "Just get yourself on the rowers, lads." So we were brilliant. Yeah, just started doing a warm-up. She's gone, "Yep, you're going to be doing the 8,000 metres. And we were like, "Pauline, like, we've done this. We did this like 2 days ago." She was like, "Yeah, but you went out last night, didn't you?" And we were and went, "No." She went, "If you lie to me again, you'll be doing 16,000 metres. I was like, "Yeah, we went." She was like, "Yeah, we'll get on with it then." And I was like, absolutely devastated. They caught us out.
What was the pub on the corner?
Was it Nelly's or something? Naughty Nelly's or...
No, I don't know whether that was the pub on the corner, mate. I think you must have got a taxi from the pub.
No, that was the.
I think you want to keep that one.
That was a beauty salon.
Yeah. We had so seeing Ravinelli. It's funny, like thinking Ravinelli's on this minibus. Like, what is he? What is he doing there? One of the physios had just got a new car. You know, remember the little MGs?
Yeah, yeah.
And he got like this green MG, and he was proper proud as punch of this MG. And he was like, "I've got my new car today, like this MG." And he's pulled up, and he was like showing all the lads, and obviously like it was me, and obviously it was Darren Goff and all your footballs, and not being like, "Oh, it's really nice, that really nice." And Ravinelli was going, "Is that yours?" And like, he's gone, "Yeah, yeah." And Ravinelli's like, "You have two of them in the garden for the kids to play with." Just killed him like that. Yeah. We were like, "Oh, Fab, come on, Fab. Don't be like that, Fab. We know you've made a few quid. There's no need to be like that. Brilliant. Just turn the radio on the minibus and keep your mouth shut."
Love it. So what about you then, Sam, in terms of injuries? What are the ones that what were the worst injuries? And then
I done my cruciate twice. Second time was horrible. That was a bit of a tough time.
Same knee.
Didn't get it. First time I'd gone my patella tendon to fix
close together
it.
All. But
no, there was a good couple of years in between.
So to explain to like the listeners who don't know, so you can have two types of grafts, can't you, for your ACL?
So you need to replace your ACL, your anterior cruciate ligament. So I got patella tendon, so I've got like a scar down the middle of my knee now, right? They did. And the second time, then I did that again. So the reconstruction had come away again, just in a tackle. But the first time I did it, I'd gone over and I was like, "It's not right, that." But I hadn't been in immense pain or anything like
straight
that.
Straight lines, you're all right, aren't you?
Yeah. So I remember walking around the supermarket that on the night time. And my knee was just sort of giving way a little bit, and I'd done my medial ligament as well, so it was just like wobbling around. I thought, this isn't right. I remember ringing the physio going,
Did it blow up?
Yeah,
that's what he said.
Yeah,
that's what it does.
It stopped. Yeah, it went. It was really bad. I said my leg's swollen. It just doesn't feel right. I do not feel comfortable. And you have to go for an MRI scan. You know, what I mean, I must have had about 100 of those. Yeah, MRI scan in the hospital, and then the scans come back, and he's just like ACL done, medial done. But like I said, when I was young, the first time, I was all right with it because it was part of the adventure. I'd never really had an injury before. I was like, all right. Okay, then, you know, you could be out. Like, I remember Peter Reid coming down and went, ACL, isn't it? And I was like, yeah. He went, oh, well, see you in 6 months. But, like, you know, just because he'd had it before. But I was still all right with it because I don't think you sort of understood and you thought, I've got all the time in the world. It's a bit of an adventure.
Indestructible feeling,
isn't it? It'll be all right. Then the second time I'd done it was horrible. But the worst time I had was when I broke my ankle at Northampton. Right, a crack right down the inside. And that was horrible because I used to travel from Shrewsbury to Northampton, you know, pretty much not every day because I had my contract where I had a couple of nights in a hotel. My contract at Northampton, I signed a 2-year deal. I got all my petrol paid for, which was great, and 2 nights in a hotel. But I should have got the toll road put in my contract, but I didn't realise I had to go on the toll road like twice a day, like 5.50. Yeah. It would end up like, it was like 70 quid a week or something. I was there for 2 years, it cost me a fortune. I was like, why didn't I? If I'd known, I should have done a practice one, shouldn't I, or something, but I just didn't go on the toll. I was like, I should have got that in my contract. That would have been a good thing to get. But it's like 85 miles. So first, when I did my ankle, I was like, well, John Gorman was like, pointless, isn't it? It's pointless you coming in for a few weeks. So Madeline, my eldest now, was only one. I was in the house with her all the time. Holly had gone back to work. And that was a tough time. Even it was nice spending time with my daughter, but like I couldn't really get around. Yeah. I was in this massive like boot. So that was horrible. And that was, you know, like for 4 weeks, I think, I was just sitting downstairs. Couldn't really get up the stairs, just with Madeline, 1-year-old, you know, which was nice spending time with her. But it was hard work as well. And John Gorman was brilliant. He used to ring me all the time and he'd be like, come down. But that was a really hard time. And I knew then, I'd only been there for a short amount of time anyway. I'd only been there for like 3 months. So I wasn't, I hadn't established myself. It wasn't like a Shrewsbury where I had a few knocks. I was like, well, yeah. I'm all right. You know, I've more than enough in the bank to know I'm fine. Northampton, I've got to get fit. I've got to get fit. Like, I can't waste this. So I'm going to be out for 3 or 4 months. I want to be coming back like after Christmas. And they struggled a little bit. They lost a few games and you just feel a bit, you know, you feel a bit guilty. So it's a weird one, isn't it? Because initially, football's a funny one, isn't it? Because if someone's playing in your position, you don't want them to play so well, and you don't want the team to be smashing it and the lad playing brilliantly when you're not there. But then when they're losing a few, I was like, I don't want to be in a team that's struggling as well. Yeah, so I just wanted like a little bit of a balance.
I always found if it was a long-term injury, obviously I knew I wasn't going to be in any sort of contention for a while. So I was like the biggest fan.
You switch off, can't you?
Oh, brilliant, we've won again. And then you sort of get a bit closer and go 1-0 up and you'd be like, oh, the lad playing in my position scored.
Yeah, he just scored. He just kept a clean sheet and you're going,
Gav, you're normally jumping out your seat. Really, really pleased. Yeah. But I'm back in 3 weeks, so.
But we had Dennis Casey was our physio. He died in 2020. He's like real like old school, like miserable old physio. And obviously I was always trying to get him like... Because that's a massive part. Like that relationship with the physio is huge. And I know we don't get... Like them, you didn't get any help sort of with your mental health. But the physios would be like counsellors. Because, you know, I used to... And then in the end, I was driving down with my ankle. And it wouldn't have been doing it any good at all. But after 4 weeks, and you think, that was hard, that. You know, then I was stopping in a hotel sometimes. And like you said, Dave, you'd have to be in for 9. I mean, he was like, they were pretty good. I said, I'll come in for 9:30 because it was a little bit further. But I was still setting off, you know, like 7:30.
Through Birmingham.
In the morning.
Worst time of day.
And then you'd always train in the afternoon, same as you. You know, you'd have a lunch break. And then you'd be in the afternoon and doing pool work. So I'd be finishing at like 3:30, 4. And
Birmingham then, on the way back.
Then on the way back, so I'm thinking in the end, you know, I'm leaving the house at 7:30 and I'm getting back at like 6 o'clock. Thinking, it's a long day that, and I know everybody's going to say, well, that's what they work these days, but it was a long day and there was just like no purpose.
Yeah.
It was just like, this was what's happening. And I was like...
A lot of it, you could probably think, I could do this at home. Do you know what I mean?
I could go to the local swimming pool. I mean, and they were good. John Gorman was good, but I could have done it all at home.
Yeah. I think there
wasn't the trust then, was it? They didn't let you do it then. They'll be like, no, you're in. Get you in. Because I was like, I'm not going to, I don't know what you think I'm going to be doing. I've got a 1-year-old. I've got this massive boot on me. I don't know. I'm not going to be going clubbing.
Yeah. The feeling is like you're almost wasting time. So you get agitated, don't you? You're full of energy. But you can't really like get that energy out and go and do a run or really go and... So that's where you get on the weights, isn't it? Because you start pushing the weights out, thinking, right, I've got to push some of this energy out. And it becomes difficult, doesn't it?
A few things you talk about there, though, Sam. So, firstly, physios, like, their main job isn't the treatment they give you, it's the what sort of mental state they can get you in, so your attitude towards your rehab is right, because we've spoke about it enough, how low you are when you're injured. They've got to look after that. They've got to understand when they need to take a step back or when they can push you and things like that. Another thing is kids. I think once you have kids, your injuries change completely because you can't get the rest at home.
Yeah.
As much as your wife says to you, don't worry about the kids, you feel so guilty, don't you? Sat at home with your legs in the air and your icing and things
and
like that.
And then it's actually quite a good thing to go in then and do your work.
To in the end, like Holly's coming back here, you haven't done the washing up. I'm like, I've been sat on the floor with Madeline here. I can't move. This weighs a ton, this thing on the bottom of the angle. But also it affects your life. You know, like I've got this massive cast on there. I can't be running around after a 1-year-old.
Yeah.
So that definitely doesn't help you mentally.
The one thing I was going to say as well was, you know, so when you obviously did your ACL when you were young, and then when you've done it the second time, because you know how long it takes to come back, did that massively impact the start of your injury? Because you know you're so far away.
So far away, and you just thought, and it's not that, and it's thinking how much hard work to get there.
Yeah.
And it's when you come back from the injury, it's those reserve games, you know, where you can't breathe. You know, when you come back from injury and you're trying to get your breath, and then you're trying to get in the first, and you know those first few games are going to be horrible, and you're going to be breathing, you're going to be struggling, then you go and you get little pulls and things, don't you? And you just think, oh.
And were you ever worried about the sort of the integrity of the knee after that? Because obviously, it's gone wrong once.
Yeah.
Were you in the back of your mind thinking, oh, if definitely, it goes again?
Definitely thinking, you know, you could be done, because 15 years previously, you know, you would have been done with that injury. You'd have been finished. So you're thinking, oh my goodness, and as well. Never really signed, like Sunderland signed and Shrewsbury signed long-term contracts. After that, it was always like 1 or 2 year contracts.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you, like at Northampton, I was on a 2-year contract, broke an ankle, and you're thinking, that's not looking good. And you know, I mean, with the best will in the world, the managers look after you and stuff and be nice, but ultimately useless to them.
Yeah.
Absolutely useless.
Yeah.
It's more difficult for them to go to the chairman at the end. I'd like to keep him.
Yeah, he's only played 10 games.
I had it with Brendan Daniels at Telford. He was injured for a long, long time, and obviously the second season of it being curtailed through the pandemic, and the argument to try and get him. I really wanted him on board because he's a great lad, and sort of I'd been able to reach him from an emotional perspective where he'd sort of been considered a bit of a bad egg. So I had that personal connection with him, but I knew what a big deal he could be. Unbelievable set piece taker, but great lad, and I knew he could be great around the place. And if we could just get him back fit. So, going to the chairman and trying to have that conversation was a tough one. But obviously, that's where your relationship with the chairman's important, isn't it? Where they trust you. But it is a tough one to then try and convince.
Oh, of course.
Because you want to be a good person. And you, especially like the lads at like Conference North level, most lads have a job. But the ones who are still chasing that dream, you start letting them go. God, there's a massive weight of guilt on your shoulders.
Yeah. So, there's one thing I've never really looked at is injuries at a lower level are so much worse because you said you've got short contracts. The rehab's not as good as
not
what?
Not as good, no.
But it goes back to what we were saying, Dave, the other day about like having a backup plan. Do you know what I mean? And doing something away from football. And some of the ones I believe that are a little bit delusional, you know, when they get into late 20s, 30s, and they're not doing anything aside from it. It's like one injury can stop everything.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not just not getting a contract. It's like one injury, like we all know. You go out at top of your game. You know, I remember being at the top of my game, feeling indestructible. All of a sudden, you break your ankle, and then you come crashing back down, don't you? So, going back to that episode, it's all very relevant.
Something I understood when I got older, when I got injured, and I did it adversely, without knowing I was doing it when I injured my back. I thought, I've got to make a positive of this. Do you know what I mean? There's got to be something I can do in my life to make positive. Yeah. And I did that when I got so frustrated with football and watching football and the rehab with my back. That's when I enrolled on a business course. Yeah, that's when I started learning about property, just to get my head away from it. But I think that's one advice I'll give to a footballer who suffers an injury where they're going to be out for longer than a month. Just try and find some sort of positive that you can make out of it.
Mine was when I'd done my cheekbone at Shrewsbury. That's when I thought to myself, I need to be doing something. Because it was literally like...
Who was your physio then?
Rach. Rach was the physio.
Because the relationships with the physios are massive. I mean, we had at Shrewsbury, we had... Spink, remember Dean Spink was a physio. I think
he's a good guy, wasn't he? Shaky's first.
Well, it's a shame, but I think Dean Spink just got his certificates off the internet, didn't he? Yeah. And was just like, I'll take a physio, didn't he? He just used to run on with a wet sponge. It's like, mate, that was 25 years ago, mate. Just help you. Well, come on, he always says something funny, he'd come on, and he'd be like, come on, he'd come run over to me, and I'd be down injured, he'd come run on, he'd have his wet sponge, and he'd be like,
What are you going to wear at night, Sam? I'll be like, mate, don't worry about my ankles, but I'm thinking I'm just going to go jeans and a t-shirt. yeah, me too. Anyway, go and get up, you're all right. I'll be like, chest thing. And Simon Shakeshaft. He was a big character, wasn't he?
Shakey, brilliant guy.
I used to ring him up. Relationship with Shakey. I mean, yeah, he helped me. But I used to ring him up at 2 a.m. I used to leave messages on his phone. Worst physio ever. You're the worst physio ever.
He would give it back though, wouldn't he, Shakey?
Oh, yeah, he loved it.
Oh, he was ruthless.
But it was so important. It was so important, that relationship with the physio, because then you would end up going for a few drinks together and stuff, wouldn't you? And you see, like, lads now, when lads have come back from injury and scored, and they run over to the physios and cuddle them, and like some of the, you know, some of the physios I had were brilliant.
Shaggy, he was class. I had him when I was a young lad at Exeter, and I'd got injured. It was only like a short one, and he was like, right, we're going swimming, so get yourself ready, we're going to go down. So I jumped in the car with him, and just got to make a little bit of a stop off. I was like, yeah, no problem. So we're on this real like busy road, parked over literally straight onto the yellow, like, don't care, does he, straight up the curb on the yellow lines. Like, come on, jump out with me. So we've gone into this shop, me being quite naive, it's quite a blank shop, nothing really on the front. We've gone in, we've gone into a pawn shop, and we've gone in there, and it's like, he's gone, what do you think of this? Starts giving me these magazines, and they're the hardest core porn you've ever seen in your life.
Shakey doesn't listen to this podcast, does he?
Mrs.
Shakey. Someone come and tag Mrs. Shakey in this.
And he was like, do you want any of these magazines? I was like, no, like, I was only about 18. I was like, no, Shakey, I'm all right. He's like, ah, you can borrow mine, don't worry. I'll give them you when I finish with them. I was like, no, you're all right. We're in it. He's like, pass them to me in the car when we're going swimming, going, God, what do you think of that there? I was like,
but you need a little bit of that, don't you? You've got to have that. He was brilliant like that because he had a good sense of humour. He's a good lad, but you need that, don't you, to get your food.
I swear, he only took me in there just to see what I'd do, my reaction would be. Do you know
what
I mean?
That's what he'd be like. Yeah. You'd be thinking, I need to get this lad sort of on side and do something like that.
Yeah, mate,
but going back to having a good sense of the physio room at every club is the hub of where everything happens, isn't it? So, or even the fit lads, they all congregate there before training. That's where all the banter happens, all the stories happen. And the physio usually has to take the brunt of it all, doesn't
it? Is he in here again?
No, I mean, Kevin Ratcliffe used to come in the physio room all the time. And he used to tell your joke, and like we'd always go,
you can't laugh.
No one laugh. If you laugh at the gaffer's joke, that's embarrassing. Oh, you, really? I bet you do. I bet you laugh. I remember one time lying on the bed, Kevin Ratcliffe's come in, and he's just like, it was me, him, and it was Rachel. Like the lads were all like milling around outside. So the gaffer started off on one of his jokes. There's only like me and Rachel in there. So I'm like, oh no. But I know like the lads are hanging around outside just to see what's happening.
That feeling.
And he just
sort
of got the end of it and whatever it was. And like, I can't remember what the joke was now, but it was something like, and then he said yes. And I just like literally just didn't see anything. And the gaffer just stood there. And I've just stood there. I couldn't laugh. Dead awkward. And you just saw them, the gaffer just going out, and Rachel was like, that was awkward. I was like, yeah, but I didn't laugh though, did I?
On the bench that weekend.
He didn't like you much at the time anyway, I thought he certainly didn't want that.
But Rachel was good. Like when I, she was good with me when I'd done my cheekbone. That was the one that sort of set me back a little bit. And like I say, got me thinking about like the next stage. Just one that come out of the blue. And I'd always had like everything below the waist. So nothing ever really above the waist. And then like snapped my cheekbone. And I was just like,
is that why your face looks like
that? Yeah, yeah. That's why I've got this sort of granite jaw thing going on. But I remember snapping my cheekbone. And for me, it was really confusing. I remember it happened away at Boston, second game of the season.
I remember that, yeah.
And we done well to get a draw out of that.
Who was it? Jason Lee?
Jason Lee, yeah. And I totally bought it on myself looking back. Because obviously, young lad, Jason Lee, really. I think it was about 76 minutes, I think, that the official time was. And up until that point, he hadn't had a kick. And I'm telling him the whole way along. And he's quite quiet. And I'm going, flipping.
He's a big lump, though,
mate,
isn't he?
What he used to do is he used to start at the front post. And when the ball went wide, he would turn around. He would put his forearm out in front and run. And if you got in the way, he'd run through you. He was horrible, mate. And I remember he ended up breaking his best mate's jaw in a game. Just went, ball bounced, went up for a header. And he's going to his mate, why did you do it? Why did you go in? You knew what I was going to do. I was always going to do it. But that one, I remember Joe went up for Joe Hart was in goal and he went up to catch the ball. So as he's gone up, I've done the whole, you know, hero thing. I'm going to get around Joe and protect him. And as I've done that, saw it on the DVD after. And obviously I'd been chirping all game and Jason Lee's come about 10 yards and he's elbowed me right in the cheekbone. And my head is like, you know, those nodding dogs in the back of the car, the Churchill dogs, my head's everywhere. Like he's done me, proper done me. And I remember being sat in the goal mouth with my legs out in front of me. And all I could hear was, and people were coming up to me, shouting at me, going, are you all right? But I could just see their lips moving. Yeah. I was going, what? What's the matter with you lot? And I felt absolutely fine. I was thinking, what's the matter with them lot?
Like your face was caved in.
Oh, mate. Yeah.
In the change rooms after, mate, his face was completely... They were going,
you're going to have to come off. And I'm going, no, not coming off. What are you talking about? Obviously, adrenaline
in
and
shock,
that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not coming off. And I was like, what's all the fuss about? And all I could hear was...
You need to come off your face.
I was thinking, my ears ringing a little bit. And we went in... And you know that real tight corridor in at Boston, isn't it? In that corner as well, all their fans are there hammering me. Horrible people, yeah. Gone in there and I'm like, do not know what the problem is. Like, the massive overreaction. I'm sick and tired of this. And I've gone past the mirror. And as I've gone past the mirror, the whole left-hand side of my face is drooping. And I went, oh, okay, no problem. Next thing I know, I'm in the hospital, in the fetus position, having a flipping suppository pushed up my bum. And I was like, oh, flipping it. Like, and then I was like crawling up the walls because of the pain had arrived and that. And that done me a little bit after that because Hopey came then. And to be fair, had it kick it when he done well, exactly what Gary
Peters
wanted.
That's what happens, wasn't it? An injury. Just, you're in the team playing well, don't need another centre-off. Suddenly, you're injured, cheekbone, right? Manager goes, right, we need another left-sided centre-off. Someone comes in, you're out. That's the fear, isn't it?
He was out of favour at Chester, Hopey. So Gary got him in. And then, I struggled. I couldn't get back in because, to be fair, team were doing well, weren't they? Hopey was your head it, kick it, get people around him. And that's what Gary wanted. That's what Gary wanted. So, but Rach was really good with me. And like I say, she was... quite understanding that I was quite young still. I needed a little bit of an arm around my shoulder. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And like, I'd be doing, I'm not going swimming today, Rach. Because if she gets you treading water, you're in trouble. She expects you to tread water for 20 minutes, doesn't she? And I'm like that after 5 minutes, going, Rach, I'm going to drown.
I'm not a swimmer.
Yeah, I'm going to drown. And she's like going, no, you should be able to do at least 12 minutes. And I'm like hammering her, going, what are you talking about? In the middle where all the kids are and that, and trying to, at the quarry swimming pool, yeah. But yeah, she was good. And it made me realise over the years with the injuries, it made me realise that how important for a manager your staff have got to be, and a physio in particular. When I was at Telford, I was lucky because I had a lad called Jake Rowe, and then Aaron Lamley came in. Aaron works at Love to Stay with Chris Skitt. So I'd gone to Skitty and just said, do you know anyone? And he said, yep, got Aaron. Aaron was brilliant, really knowledgeable. Everything that you want to do, really loyal, tell you everything the players would do. But he would also, with the players, he would make them think that he was their mate as well. So he played quite a good game of sort of getting on really well with the players, but he was also going, look, this is what's going on. Like, he needs pushing. Like, he's saying that he's injured, but actually he needs to be pushed a little bit. He's really good like that.
You've got to be a strong character.
Really trustworthy.
I mean, especially like the physios, because it's Sunderland, Peter Reid would be like, is he fit? Have you got him fit yet? Yeah. He needs to be fit. I need him for next Saturday. The physios would either like, you need to try and play next Saturday, or go, No, Gaffer, if you're a strong physio, you go, no, Gaffer, no chance, it's too soon, no point in risking him, give him another week. Oh, we need him, you know.
Well, as would be, like,
really
still happens now, that
as would be dreading it, because I'd be like, is he any chance then? Is he anywhere near? Or
so
like,
you were the same when you were manager?
I wasn't as aggressive, but I would be like, I don't think you should make it comfortable for it. Like, listen, like you say, if someone's got a broken ankle,
you
have to work with them, you have to nurture them mentally, emotionally, psychologically, all of that. But sometimes, like, when lads have got muscle injuries, I think especially at a lower level, they can almost want to nick a couple of weeks. And like, you know, if you're winning, they'll go, I'll leave it a week. And you think, but then you'll lose a game and they go, I feel all right now. Like, I think I'm ready for Saturday. And you think, well, no. So I was always like, as used to dread it, because I'd walk in and go, Fee's in here again, is he? Like, any chance? Are you any closer? Or like, what's going on with you? And as I'd play that role of just going, like, yeah, Gaffer, like, he's a little bit away yet. And I go, you told me 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago. Like, so I would sort of try and put it on them a little bit, but not as much. And then I would see them later on their own, and I'd be like, you're all right, you're feeling okay, and you're getting any closer. But you can't make it comfortable for them, can you? Because I think some of them, like you say, at our age now, you wouldn't do it. But I think when you're younger, you are sort of, you know.
That's what treatment rooms are like, gaffers walking in them, and exactly that. Is he in here again? Getting a rub again?
Yeah.
Steve Cottrell was, got like, obviously shrewd manager now. He would always come in the treatment room and like, love to come in and tell stories and have a bit of banter with the lads.
Yeah.
Remember the once.
Were you allowed to laugh or not?
Yeah.
You laughing? Dave would have been one of them laughing. Dave would have been going, brilliant, Gaffer. Yeah, yeah. Oh, great story. Yeah. Great story, Gaff.
When I was there, we had Jason Cummins, and what a guy he is. Like, funniest guy.
He's a Scottish lad.
Scored two against Liverpool. If you Google him, you'll find loads of things about him, like funny stories about him. Great on a night, but he's a bit misunderstood because he's a really good lad. Everyone thinks he's a bit of a bad egg, but he's not. He's a good kid.
They always think that a little bit about the lads who've got a bit of crack, don't they? Yeah. The ones who sort of have a
naturally,
bit of banter.
So in the Shrewsbury physio room, you walk in through the main door, you've got your two treatment beds in front of you, and then there's the physio's computer in the corner. Yeah. And if you're at the computer, your back will be to the door, so you won't know if anyone's coming in. And next to the door, there's a telly. And the telly's linked to the computer. So the lads now and again put YouTube on or something. They'll be watching something on the screens. And Jason Cummins is in there. And he's put on this hardcore porn. And he's there. And the physio, Jordan Beach, he was like, Beach, you like a bit of this, don't you, you dirty dog? And he's going mad. And the gaffer walks in. He just stands in the doorway looking at it. And Jace keeps going, oh, Beachy, this is a bit of you, isn't it, mate? Go on, you'd love this.
He doesn't know the gaffer.
He doesn't know the gaffer. He keeps going on, going on, going on. Then he presses pause and he spins his chair around. The gaffer's saying, enjoying this, Jace. Jace, he's brilliant like this, just saying, what's your favourite gaffer? I'll put it on for you.
I love that.
What about any daft injuries you've had? You know, like ones that not necessarily from football, remember it was a David Besant when he dropped bottle of salad cream or something.
Non-football related.
Is that anything like that?
No, not that I can recall. No.
I've had a beauty at Wolves with that, but I can't name the player because they're still playing. I don't know if I'll get a lawsuit against me or something, but we was on a pre-season trip and we had the curfew as normal, so all the lads had come back in. I'm rooming with Matt Jarvis. We've kind of got back in at, I don't know, 11:30 or something. We're getting ready for bed. Then all of a sudden there's a knock on the door. This lad in particular walks in and says, we're going back out, do you fancy it?
Who's that? You can't say that.
I won't say it, just in case. He's still playing.
Check him. Oh, right, go on.
And he says, oh, you come back out? Me and Joe, like, no, we're flying home in the morning. We're going to leave it. Yeah. And he says, well, we can't go back downstairs because everyone's waiting. Can I get out your window? And we're like, hang on a minute. I said, we're on the first floor here. He says, you're going to have to jump. He goes, nah, stuff it. We're going to go. And all the lads were already legging it across the grounds of this field.
Yeah.
So he's gone to the window. He's jumped out. And I've just heard this massive squeal. And it must be a good 15, 20 foot drop. I've heard this massive squeal. Looked down, said, are you all right? He's kind of give the thumbs up. He started jogging over to...
He's not right, him.
So I shut the curtains. And then about 5 minutes later, there's a knock on the door. He comes hobbling in. I said, you're not gone? He goes, nah, ankle is absolutely... about 3 months with it.
Did he really?
Yeah, but he kind of said he'd done it in training. Do you know what I mean?
And
but
who was that again?
You can't name
I'll
that.
Tell you in a couple of years when they retire.
Yeah.
Ask him if you can name him for that. I had one with a similar thing, whereas I was trying to get my mate's house back in Newcastle, and I jumped from a garage door onto the ground, and I'd already come back from my knee injury, and I jumped, and I thought it was all right, I'd landed, but obviously I'd jarred my knee, where I had bruising all down the side of my shin as well, and I was like, I had to go in the physio, and it was like, what's happened there? I went, I don't know, I must have been in training or something like that, because if anything like that, you'd be in massive trouble. So I had bruising all down the side of my shin. I remember thinking, oh my God, like you get... Especially then, you know, like the gaffer would lose his head with stuff like that. But yeah, I can't really think of any other things like that.
I had one when I was in the youth team at Shrewsbury. I was still playing like Power League with my mates. So I was still, so I'd done that. I remember I popped my shoulder playing in Power League and it was bad. It was sore. So I've gone into training the next day and we're only doing a running session. And I've just thought, I've just got to get through 5 minutes and then I can fall over.
Do a comedy fall.
But we did this running for about 15, 20 minutes where obviously I couldn't say I was injured. Yeah. Then I managed to just get through. As soon as you went into a five, I went on the floor and was like, oh, my shoulder's killing me. I had to come out, but it was agony. But yeah, so that, I know quite a lot of lads who still play, sort of they call it fives or whatever it is when they go play in the cages and things like that.
Good to keep you fit and that.
Good,
like when
but you shouldn't not really
when you're playing. No.
A manager would be raging, wouldn't he, if you found out if you've got like Harry Kane going down the local five-a-side and playing.
I remember Richard, we were on a night out and Hopi was in the town, absolutely steaming, like gone, completely gone. We're walking through the car park and I don't know what had happened, but he'd ended up getting on top of his car. So he climbed on top of the car, like on the bonnet, not on the bonnet, actually on the roof of the car. And he's there and he's doing all this dancing. The girl's like, she's going absolutely wild, obviously, as you would. And he slipped. He slipped and broke his hand. But obviously he's gone straight, like he's the dent on the roof, obviously a big old lump, Hopi, wasn't he? He's gone right, like dented it massively. Obviously everyone's like, that's Richard Oak plays for Shrewsbury. And like, he's got back. And everyone was like, at the time, he was sort of quite in favour, Hopi, wasn't he, doing all right. And I think what had happened was Gary Peters had looked at it and got there, like, mate, you're done. You're going to get done. I think this was on a Tuesday night. We'd gone out, so we were back in Thursday. Yeah. Got drunk, mate, you're in a world of trouble. Come in and go, what you been up to then, Hopi? Been hearing all the stories? Pulled him in a room and he was like, oh yeah, look, you're going to have to pay £1,000 for this.
Broken hand as well.
Yeah, he got a broken hand, but because obviously he could play with it. So Gary Peters, like no one, you couldn't have seen that. Like normally anything like that, Gary Peters would have just gone, right, you're on the list, that's you, done. But he just laughed it off, took him in a room. He had to pay £1,000 to the girl. Apologise publicly, and then just played with a broken hand.
You can still play, though. It's not so bad, is it? You know, if you do your ankle like this.
Yeah. He was weird like that, Gary, because when I snapped my cheekbone, obviously, like I'd looked at it like Jason Lee. It was an absolute disgrace, and he's done it to many a player, not just me. I'd said to Gary Peters, like, yeah, obviously, want to look at the have you seen the video? Because we always used to get the DVD of the game, do you remember? So gone in, put the DVD in, obviously sat with Gary and gone, obviously, like, we've got to go to the FA about that. I mean, it was disgusting. Like, he literally ran 10 yards and just done me, proper, blatant, couldn't have been any clearer. And I've gone, like, what are we doing then, Gaffer? We're going to the FA, we're going to get him charged for that, like, proper going for it. Like, that's disgusting. I wouldn't want that on my worst enemy. He went, I went, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, thing is, he's going to be playing against a couple of teams in and around us. And it was early in the season anyway. I was like, all right. He's like, yeah, really want him playing against them teams. And I was like, yeah, no,
we're going.
And he's like, yeah, leave it with me. And then I'd go to him every other day going, Gaffer, have you sorted that? He's like, yeah.
I'm on it. Someone's sorting it
and that, and nothing ever got done. And that was obviously a part of how our relationship started to get bigger.
You can never read Gary Peters. Nah. I remember we had a night out once on a Sunday night, and we were training on the Monday, and me, Joe Hart and Jamie Tolley had gone back to this guy's house. He kind of said, oh, we're having a house party. We went back there and he was living with his mum, this guy, and to be fair, it was more Jamie and Joe than me, but they put stuff, fairy liquid in the washing machine, baked beans in the toaster, just messing around this place. Anyway, but nothing of it, all went back. Next morning, me and Joe going to training, Gaffer straight away, you two in here now. So he went into his office. He says, you boys out last night? And we kind of, I was thinking, I'm reading the room here, you know. So I was like, oh, yeah, we went out. Because I've had a phone call this morning. Said, okay. He says, apparently you've ruined someone's flat. I said, okay. He goes, I'll tell you what, you two have turned up here this morning. You want a train? I don't mind that. Bloody Tolly.
Where was he?
He's ranging sick an hour ago.
He's the world for your dad, hasn't he?
So he was okay with us.
Tol
had to come in an hour late, you see, tail between his legs.
Yeah. Thanks, Gaffer.
So what we're saying then, with injuries, we're saying that obviously depending on the stage in your career, your age, all of that is dependent on how you deal with it. We're all sort of pretty much in agreement, how established you are, what
your contract situation is, I think, as well.
And we're all pretty much in agreement that depending on all that depends on how you deal with it. But you all need a focus and a mountain to climb.
And a good physio. And it helps if you got somebody like a mate. Like when I had Steve Agnew, he helped me massively. He was experienced and he got us on the bike. And it was like I had like a friend, a pal to do it with.
You make new friends when you're injured as well, don't you? You might be sort of injured with a lad you've never really spent that much time with. And all of a sudden, you're out sort of 6 months together and you become really close. Yeah. But I think everyone can admit injuries is the worst possible thing for a footballer, isn't it?
I've got to give it for that cheekbone one. I was very confused about that one. But Ben Smith, not that he was conscious about it because he's not really that type of lad, but he was really good for me when I was at that period of time because I was all about right. I'll just get one of their masks on, you know, the Phantom of the Opera type mask. I'll get one of them and play. And they were like, yeah, it's high up on the cheek, can't really do it, and all of that. He was really, really good because he would just every day pop in. Have a drink, come on, come to town, let's have a coffee. But I don't think he really, I might be doing him a bit of a disservice there, but he was really good for me. Him and Kevin Sharp were really good when I done that.
Has anybody ever injured anybody badly? Because I've got terrible. I don't know if you were playing in that, Dave. We'd still remember that. We from Scunthorpe at home. Played Scunthorpe at home, didn't we? We're getting beat like 2-0. And they've done that thing, you know, in the corner, where they've gone in the corner to waste time. Like, there's a couple of minutes left. I don't think I'd had a particularly good game. Gaz Sheldon it was. Good player him as well. And I've just like lost my head and I've ran like 30 yards, absolutely two-footed him and like snapped his leg, like broke his leg. It was horrendous. Like looking back, you think, that's like a big regret that I've got on the football pitch. Could you be playing in that day?
No, I can't remember that.
It was hell on afterwards, obviously. I got a yellow card, which was like ridiculous. It was like the most blatant straight red. Can you remember that, Witt, that one? It was the most blatant straight red you've ever seen. And did you? And it's cut havoc. Like their assistant managers they're all up and all that. We're going to get you. It's like 10 minutes to go. Like when next time you get the ball and that. And I was like, obviously, like
good.
Let's have it. So it was all kicking off. Then obviously all our lads were kicking off. Then everybody just grabbing each other in the tunnel and that. It was horrendous. I found out obviously that night that he broke his leg. And I'm in fairness, I wrote to him. I don't know why I wrote. I didn't have text, you know, in the same way. And I wrote to him like just apologising. I've never seen him since or anything like that, but that was a bad one afterwards, you know. Yeah, at the time, I was like, oh. And I remember Kevin Ratcliffe coming afterwards, and Kevin Ratcliffe went, obviously, Sam, I can't condone what you did, but I don't expect people to be taking the mick out of us like that. You know, if that does happen, I expect you to make tackles, but obviously, that was way over the top. That was too over the top.
I've done a couple of them, like challenges and that, and doing it, like you say, you regret it a little bit, don't you? You leave it late on purpose, and you hurt the opposition, and I don't think I've ever like really damaged someone, but there's been a couple where lads have gone off, and like afterwards you think, oh, flipping, yeah, he broke his ankle, or, yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I never did anything that was so blatant that it was like, yeah, everything was kicking off. But there'd been a couple of tackles where I knew I'd left it a little bit late because I wanted to get him. And
you hear and feel the noise different, don't you, when you catch someone and they're not faking.
You go cold, don't you? Yeah. You go cold and you look at the lad and you think, oh, I've done him there. And there's a couple of times where you think you've done someone and afterwards they're like, you go and apologise. Like, I'm all right. It'll swell up, but it'll be fine. You're almost relieved, aren't you? Like, flipping egg.
It's not nice when you see someone. I mean, I still remember that David Boost one. Remember that one when we were kids? I only saw on the telly, but he had like 27 operations or something, didn't he? Remember, it was in the paper the next day and you couldn't even
just
look at
freak,
it.
Wasn't it?
The thing is, though, the leg break, like that, I think that was more his knee, wasn't it, David Bruce? But the leg breaks are the one that kind of get all the headlines. So you look back at like Aaron Ramsey, Luke Shaw, more recent years.
Aaron Ramsey one with Shawcross, wasn't it?
Yeah, and everyone looks at them, but an ACL is a lot worse than a leg break.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas the kind of people don't think that about it. Everyone thinks, oh my God, he's come back from a broken leg. But once it's broken, you can heal, it comes back stronger.
The break's definitive, isn't it? It's like it's broken. We know where it's going to be. We know the time scales. You can get your head around that. For me, it was all the muscles and the ligaments were the ones that used to just fry my brain.
Yeah.
I couldn't get my head around them. And like I said, the cheekbone one was, I was just confused about that because I was like, well, I can just play. And they were like, yeah, but predominantly you head the ball a lot and can't risk this and it's near your eye and all of that. And I was operated on 2 days later at the Nuffield, all of that. And they were just like, look, because you just head the ball quite a lot, can't risk it. It was near my eyeball. I was like, I do play with my feet as well. But
if you can't head, I'll just play anyway. I just won't head it. Nah, mate, there's no point in you being on that football pitch if you're not heading it.
Mate, have you seen yourself? It's pointless you being out there.
Yeah,
I remember coming back in training and Rach was there and she went, Gary Peters was like, he can join in, we need the numbers. And I was like, yeah, I've been gagging for it. I can't wait to get back in. And she just went, look, just promise me you won't go up for a header. Honestly, it's really close to you. I'm really concerned about header. Yeah, no problem. Literally 30 seconds later, it's gone to the back post. And I've just gone. And I've literally taken everyone out, about three people on the floor, and I've headed it. It's crashed against the bar. And I just heard Rachel squealing from the...
Gavin!
Gavin! I was like, sorry. It's just instinct, isn't it?
Yeah. I think the another thing about the injuries, which is frustrating, is you know when you've just got injured and you've got everyone asking you, how is it? Or even through the rehab, how is it? Are you getting on? And you're kind of saying the same answer every time. And it just, that mentally demoralises you as well, doesn't it? And you always say, yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it's fine. We're in the end.
You're on crutches.
Yeah. You're trying to get on.
Yeah, feeling really good. Yeah. You're on crutches and you look like you've been crying.
tough times, isn't it? Really tough times. Worst part of football.
But brilliant for your character. Like as you get older, the resilience and all of that. You look back and how you dealt with things, and you've been through it and learned each time. And like you say, you found a way, didn't you? You had to make some adjustments, Dave. And like you've learned from it, Sam, as well. I know definitely for me, I've had times where I've drawn the curtains and just gone, I'm not getting out today. You know, I remember bringing the TV to the door and laying in the bar for about 4 hours, just not wanting to get. I keep topping up the hot water because I just don't want to get out of the bar. I just don't want to face what's going on out there. But you get over it, don't you? And you come through it.
And
every
time. You can help younger lads then as well.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, when they're going through it, you can say, I've been there, and you need to look after yourself. Do you know what I mean? Especially nowadays, because lads, we had lads at Shrewsbury with long injuries, and they would just be in their room on their computer forever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they come in the next morning, pale as anything, eyes everywhere.
Put a bit of timber on, isn't it? Because you're not like training as much, you're pretty younger.
I had a bit about me. I watched Godfather 1, 2 and 3, so it's a bit different to being on your computer.
We done then, lads?
Yeah, good.
You happy with that?
Bit different again, wasn't it?
See what we think. As always, give us a little bit of feedback. Like we said at the start, if you have listened to podcasts and you see us out and about, just give us a shout and see you enjoy it. Good for our self-esteem.
At In The Stiffs, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and inthestiffs@gmail.com.
Got a few more episodes after this, haven't we, as well?
Doing a question and answer thing.
Email in for that.
Email some questions. Any topics off limits? Not really.
Nothing
that's going to affect my job.
we'll just be a little bit mindful around that.
I don't want the chair of governors pulling me in on Monday morning. Can have a little chat, Sam, about something in the podcast.
Yeah, let's be selective, eh? Brilliant, lads.
Thanks, well done, everybody.